Think on that one. I don't have to compulsively hunt out somebody to love me if I put the same energy into becoming a person who's worthy of being loved. Somebody will find me. How many of you have looked around? And how many of you are single at this point? Just a couple of you. We do have a knack for making marriages work, don't we? Okay, we really... All right, here's the interesting thing about this, you know. When you spend all your time looking for somebody else, you don't have any time to work on yourself. Okay? Now, this was really driven home to me a number of years ago in therapy when somebody says, well, tell me about your life. I said, well, I can't find a woman worthy of love. And I said, what are you doing? I said, I'm looking all the time. How many women are you? I'm dating 7-8 women at a time. Well, how would you describe the quality of the women you're dating? I say, ugh. You know, and then I use the derogatory language all of a chauvinist pig uses to describe women. My therapist listens and says, now that's really interesting. He says, that's another reason why a high-quality woman would really be interested in you, isn't it? Isn't a high-quality woman that wants a committed, caring relationship going to be interested in a guy who cats around like you do? And he said, well, what do you suggest? He says, why don't you stop getting involved with all these women and open up space in your time, in your life, so something can happen? I says, you got to be kidding. Okay? But this is how it starts. You have to work on yourself. You have to open yourself up to change. How many of you have looked out on the dating scene and says, there's no quality people out there for me to get involved with? How many have said that? Now, as your hands are up, look around the room. Who are you saying that about? Who are you saying that about? I've done workshops on intimacy, and I've taken men in one room, women in the other room, and I said, what's your biggest problem? The men say there are no quality women. And the women say there are no quality men. And I say, do you consider yourself quality men capable of intimacy? And they say, right on, brother. Do you women consider yourself quality women capable of intimacy? They say, right on. But you know, you wouldn't understand that because you're a man. So we bring them together. And they both look at each other and say, yuck. Process is called delusional thinking. See? Because we are basing our idea of what is, you know, what do you mean I have a capacity for intimacy? I am capable of having mind-blowing sex with the right person, right? That's what intimacy is about. All right, now, that's the next step, okay? The person interested in an addictive relationship looks for instant gratification. The primary value of the relationship is the ability to blow each other's mind on demand. Person going for a healthy relationship isn't looking for that. They're looking for long-term contentment. Long-term security, long-term peace of mind. A mentally healthy person is someone who plans for their best interest for the long term of their life. What? But that goes against the program, doesn't it? Doesn't one day at a time mean don't plan? Isn't that what I mean? No, one day at a time means you pay attention to what you're doing now, but you still look into the future. You don't pick a partner solely based on how they make you feel today. Okay? Now, third thing. The dysfunctional person, the person going after an addictive relationship, is dishonest. There are things going on in their heart and in their mind and in their feeling that they don't share with their partner because the belief is if they know about that, if I share that, they will not love me anymore. Based upon the belief I'm inherently and irrevocably unlovable. Now, the healthy relationship is based upon rigorous honesty. Healthy people, before they make significant commitments interpersonally, want to share with their partner the nature of who they are and know that they are totally accepted unconditionally for what they are, knowing that they will not need to keep secrets. Okay? They make a commitment to be fully conscious of their partner. And as a matter of fact, they get offended when they find their partner is keeping secrets from them, and that can become grounds for relationship termination. Healthy relationships don't tolerate secrets. Now, this doesn't mean you truck out a litany of every single detailed thing you've done in the past. No. It's like the fourth step or the fifth step. You don't share in a fifth step every single concrete incident where you've done something wrong. You share the nature of your wrong. What's the nature of past problems I've had? What is the type of person I've been and the type of person I'm becoming? Your partner needs to know that. And ladies and gentlemen, if they can't handle it, there's no future there anyway. But you don't do it on the first date. Or the second or the third. Okay? Next is compulsive over-control. You're hooked up with somebody who I've got to change. As soon as they change just a little bit, I'll be happy. Okay? As a result, I'm hooked in this thing. I can't be comfortable. I can't be free-flowing. I can't be natural. I've got to fake it. I've got to force this person into a mold. I've got to change them. I've got to hide myself. I'm working at this sucker all the time. A lot of energy's going into this. What about a healthy person? You know, a healthy person isn't very interested in a relationship that's going to take a lot of work. Are you aware of that? And a person from a dysfunctional family believes the norm in a relationship is to constantly struggle and occasionally have a few moments of good feelings that then degrade back into a struggle. That's the norm. And they expect that, and they look for it. You know what a healthy person expects in a relationship? That the norm of the relationship is voluntary, free-flowing cooperation. That it's comfortable, it's secure, it feels good, it feels nice. I don't have to hide, work, struggle, walk on eggshells, control, manipulate. And yes, every once in a while, we experience abnormal periods of problems. But we know we will solve those problems together through cooperation, and that we will then go back to the norm, which is comfort. Addictive relationships, pain and struggle is the norm. Brief periods of good times is the exception to the norm. In a healthy relationship, comfort and satisfaction in good times is the norm. Brief periods of struggle and conflict is the opposite of the norm. Okay? Now, that's healthy. That's normal. Now, what else? Lack of trust. We talked about this. People do not, in addictive relationships, they don't trust each other. They never know what the other one's going to do. I got to trick them into being responsible, et cetera, et cetera. In a healthy relationship, there is rational trust. Now, I want to explain this. Rational trust. I know a person who bought a cat, okay? And they were really ticked at this cat. And I said, why? That damn animal walks all over everything. It climbs on bookshelves and over this and why. And I've been beating that sucking cat to keep him off of furniture and to keep him off the grapes, and I can't get that cat to stay off my furniture. And I said, well, why are you trying to do that? I had a dog that never did that. Okay? Now, what's the problem here? I expect the cat to violate its basic nature. For me. For me. Let's not forget that. There's a reason, and important for me. See? Now, people have natures, too. Fundamental inherent natures. You're not going to get somebody to change their fundamental inherent nature. If somebody's nature doesn't fit yours, you're not going to change it. And if you commit with somebody and you struggle to change their nature, it is not going to work. What is rational trust? Rational trust is the belief that the person will always act in accordance with their nature as a human being. They will always act eventually in accordance with their natural free-flowing preferences in life. In other words, every human being will naturally pursue what they believe to be in their best interest to the best of their ability. That's what it's all about. And if you get hooked up with somebody and you expect them to act in non-accordance with their nature, it won't work. I was in a relationship with a woman I loved very much, and we had all kinds of things in common except for one. I was work-oriented, loved living in the city, and wanted to up my career, and I needed someone to support that. And she had come from out west, and all she wanted to do was move back to Arizona, live in a log cabin, work a 20 or 30-hour a week job, get enough money to pay the rent so she can listen to John Denver music, sit on the front porch reading books with her husband there, and they can companionship together and go hiking in the woods. That was her fundamental nature. The work nature was my fundamental nature. What do you think happened to the relationship? It didn't work.
And it's not because we didn't love and care about each other. It's just one of us would have had to violate our natures and it would not have worked. Not everybody can build a productive relationship together. Healthy people know this and accept it, and they go through a rational process. Remember this building process of the relationship? They go through a screening process, and they say, hey, will this person fit with me as I am, or will I have to change? And if I have to change too much, I'm not interested. That's what a healthy person says. Now, I'm not talking about normal processes of growth, but I'm not willing to change fundamentally who I am as a human being to accommodate anybody else. And if it's not a joy to be around me the way I am, given, of course, I'm not totally pathological, I'm not interested in that relationship. Now, here again is where a fourth step comes in. You know, if your elevator don't go all the way up most days, okay, you're going to find people who are interested in involvement with you that really don't want to get to the top floor in life. Okay? Is this making any kind of sense to you? So in other words, you're going to attract people at your level of development. Now, I want to share with you another normal thing. One monogamous lifelong relationship is no longer normal in this culture. It was normal when the average life expectancy was 36, and a man would be married three times between age 14 and age 36 because he lost three wives in childbirth. Okay? Then it was normal. Now it's not. The norm is serial monogamy. Relationships where we grow together and then outgrow each other, then grow together again and outgrow each other. And it is normal for a person to go through 3 to 5 primary, substantially enduring relationships in their lifetime but outgrow each other. That's normal. There's nothing wrong with that. If it's done responsibly and you recognize that you will attract somebody at your level of growth and you may grow in a way that they're not willing or able to. And then you recognize. Now this brings another principle. Healthy people know how to responsibly get out of relationships. If you have never responsibly gotten out of a relationship, I suggest before you ever get serious about anybody, you give yourself the homework assignment to get in and out of 3 relationships in quick succession. Doesn't that sound nasty? Now, relationship's not quite a weekend guy, you know. You know the type here, you know, let's have a meaningful relationship tonight, you know. It's a little, but get into a relationship, enjoy the other person's company, and then end it. Oh my God, I can't do that. See? But until you know you can get out of a relationship, you will never be free to choose to stay in one. Remember this. Until I know I can get out of a relationship when I choose to, I am capable of getting out, I will never be free to choose to stay in. I will be trapped. And when I have no choice, I can never be free to love, because love is a free expression of choice. I must love you in a free, natural, uncoerced way. And if I am coercing myself because I know there's no way out ever, and I start dreaming of you dying just so I can get out, that's not too good. You can never love under those agreements. But that's rational trust. The next is social isolation. Addictive relationships are isolated. It's you and I against the world. You notice how this music really reinforces the healthy aspects of relationships? The healthy relationship is socially integrated. When a healthy person gets involved in a relationship, they keep their old friends. And they still see them. Okay? The other partner keeps their old friends. Suggestion. The partner has no friends. Think about that. Think about that, okay? Weigh that a little bit in your, you know, getting to know process. Say, maybe there's a reason for that. Okay? It's okay to get out of a relationship that's not going to work before you commit in. And don't commit too fast. That's normal not to commit too fast. Okay? So now, both partners have friends, and then they come together as a couple, and they develop friends as a couple. There's my social life, your social life, and our social life. Okay, and this is the other thing I'd really like to point out, is that there is really in relationship. I went to my brother's wedding, you know, the Catholic wedding. Anyone here Catholic? How many of you are recovering at this moment from that? It's... It's really an interesting thing. Many of you have probably seen the Catholic wedding service where you sit there, and if you're a healthy person watching this, you die inside, because they walk up to the statue of the Virgin Mary, and there are two candles burning and a third unlighted candle, one platform up. And they pick up the candle, which symbolizes me, and the partner, you know, the wife or the husband picks up the other candle symbolizing them. And then the two people merge their flames together to light the third candle. Then they bring their own flames back, and what do? They blow out their own bloody candle. That ain't healthy. Normal, yes. Healthy, no. Okay? Healthy people don't lose themselves in their relationships. They have a sense of, this is me, I am me, you are you, we are us. They also recognize when you get into a relationship, there are three categories of problems. There is my problem that I must solve on my own, hopefully with support and understanding from you, but you can't fix them. I gotta fix them. And I know you have problems that are yours that you've gotta fix, hopefully with my help and understanding. And then we recognize there are our problems, those issues we must work on together. And at any given time, in any given relationship, all three categories of problems are present. There is no, healthy people recognize there is no such thing as a perfect relationship. They have realistic expectations. And somebody says, well, my God, Terry, what is healthy intimacy? What is a healthy relationship? In a healthy relationship, two people trade in one set of problems for a better set of problems. It is the same thing with personal recovery in the ACA program. You will never be problem-free. You know, life is a series of problems, beginning with birth and ending with death, unless you believe in an afterlife. You know, somebody once asked me, Terry, do you believe there are good and evil spirits in the other life? And I said, yeah, I think I do. Just, do you believe there are good and evil people here on earth? I said, yeah, I think I do. And he says, then when you die, it's really not going to be much different, is it? Oh, shit. Maybe it doesn't end there. But now somebody else says, well, my problems do end at death because I don't believe in an afterlife. And somebody else in the group chimed up and says, well, you ever tried to decompose? That's a problem. There are problems. Sequences of problems. Healthy people trade in one set of problems for a better set of problems, then they trade in that set of problems for a better set of problems. It's called progressive developmental growth. That's what relationships are about. You will always be struggling with problems. But in a healthy relationship, there's social integration. You can go outside the relationship, outside of the family, to get help, courage, and support. There are not secrets that need to be hidden from the whole world. Finally, and this is very important, the addictive relationship has itself in a cycle of repeating pain. And the cycle of repeating pain goes like this. Intense pleasure, intense pain, disillusionment, blaming my partner for the whole thing, desperate action to make it work again, and the cycle starts all over again. Intense pleasure, intense pain, disillusionment, blaming myself and my partner. Typically, I blame my partner, then I blame myself, then desperate action, I start all over again. Every once in a while, we take a vacation from that and have a good time for a few minutes. But we don't do that too often because we're hard workers. We have to make this relationship grow. We need growth experiences, you know what I mean? How do healthy relationships work? It goes like this. There is a repeating cycle of deepening contentment. There is satisfaction and contentment with the partner. A problem develops, which creates pain, which results in, are you ready for this? This is radical. Problem-solving behaviors. We rationally look at the problem, and we realize we are not enemies. We are in this together, and we put our mutual brain power together, and we solve the problem. And are you ready for this next step? Resolution. We work at it till it is solved. Then our intimacy is heightened and we go back to our normal state of being content and satisfied with one another. Doesn't that sound weird? Okay? Now that's what healthy intimacy is about. I want to give you just a couple of steps for how to get there, just to summarize. It'll only take about 2 minutes. First of all, if you are interested in developing healthy intimacy, remember, First the self, then a possibility. First I become healthy, then I have the possibility of healthy intimacy. If your relationship sucks, so do you. And I hate to say it that way. I hate to say it that way, but we have to take a look at something here. If our relationships are really problematic, you know what we are doing? We are externalizing our beliefs about what relationships should be. And until we straighten those expectancies out, you see, relationships are a mirror of our inner being. This is what we don't realize. It's a mirror of our inner being. So the first recommendation, may establish and maintain a program of personal growth and recovery. First me, then a possibility. And in your early recovery, there's nothing wrong with swearing off of relationships till you get your shit together. There is nothing wrong with that. Secondly, establish realistic expectations of what an intimate relationship is and should be. Okay? Well, establish what a relationship will and will not do for you. And this takes a lot of talking. You have to figure out what is rational and realistic to expect and what isn't. Third, select an appropriate partner. If you are in a relationship, evaluate your current partner's willingness to work with you to improve intimacy. This is the number one criteria for a partner. Number one, that you have things in common, and number two, that you are both interested in developing the same nature of a relationship. You are both looking for the same level of intimacy to develop. If one wants one level and the other one wants another level, you're not going to get it together. And a lot of problems in intimacy are very plain and simple selection errors. Because ACAs and people from dysfunctional families don't believe they have the inherent right to select. Four, spend time with your partner. And in two ways, alone time and bounce that off with shared social time. You have to build experiences together. The next recommendation, share life experiences. The more, the better. The more history of life experiences you have, the deeper and more intense your relationship's going to be. And how do you do this? First of all, by doing things together and talking about what that meant to you and how you felt about it. This is what we did. This is the meaning it had. This is how I felt about it. And secondly, when you do things away from your partner, you come back and you share a breadth of your experiences away. You talk to them about your activities of day-to-day living. The next thing you do, and this is really critical, learn how to balance risk-taking and comfort-seeking. Most people who have a tendency towards addictive relationships believe relationships are built upon risk-taking, and they aren't. Healthy relationships are built upon comfort-seeking. Risk-taking occurs in small, measured doses. Comfort-seeking is the primary activity. Mutual pleasuring, mutual satisfaction. So balance that out. If you believe that a relationship has to be an endless series of painful personal growth experiences, you're never going to have much comfort and satisfaction in your relationship. And screen your therapist for this. Ask your therapist what they believe in terms of growth experiences and relationships. If they say relationships are an endless series of painful growth experiences, remember, you're paying money to get that done to you. Okay? Learn to talk about two things. And it starts out by talking about this in your ACOA group. What you believe you need in a relationship and what you want in a relationship. You've got to do reality testing with this. Because once you find a partner, here's what you need to do. You need to know, here's what I need in the relationship, here's what I want. I got to put it into words. Then I tell my partner about it. Here's what I need, here's what I want. Then I have to get interested and concerned about what my partner needs and wants. If any partner is unable to know what they need and want and talk about it, the process of intimacy collapses. Because intimacy is achieving my basic needs so I'm comfortable and my basic wants so I'm happy. When your needs are met, you're comfortable. When your wants are met, you're happy. Next is feeling. You've got to know what you feel. You've got to be able to put it into words and tell your partner. Then you've got to give a damn about what they feel. You've got to care. You've got to be willing to listen. You've got to be concerned about it. This is easy stuff, isn't it? Okay? The third thing, you got to learn to problem solve together. You've got to be willing to involve others in your relationship and ask for expert advice. If you are fearful of getting outside help, there's something wrong. in this day and age, a changing social norm, changing morality, changing so on, changing expectations, almost every couple periodically needs a therapist to sort things out. There is nothing wrong with that. It is, in fact, unhealthy to believe you can maintain an ongoing relationship without ever needing the help of an objective outsider to help you sort your head. So don't be afraid of that. Finally, make your partner psychologically visible. Tell them how you see them. Tell you what you think about them. Tell them what they mean to you. Tell them how you feel about them. Without that, relationships wither and die. So what have I tried to do tonight? Well, hopefully what I've done, first of all, is talk to you about the levels of relationships and say, hey, know what level of relationship you want, and first of all, make sure your partner matches that. Secondly, I gave you a guide for evaluating how functional or dysfunctional your relationship is by giving you 7 basic characteristics of addictive relationships and the 7 basic counterpoints to that that occur in healthy relationships. And finally, we talked just a little bit about the means whereby you can begin converting your addictive intimate skills into healthy intimate skills. And the thing I'd just like to share with you, addictive intimacy takes a lot more skill and work than healthy intimacy. If you can engage in an addictive relationship, you can learn how to engage in a healthy one. And when you learn the basic principles, it'll be easier and more satisfying than you'd ever believe. Thank you very much.